So exciting. And I'm glad today to have some friends here from Tuscaloosa, and I'm going to embarrass them and tell them to stand up and wave to everybody. And so do that right now. And we've just been having a blast with them, just going out and praying for people, and they have brought last week and this week, I don't know, probably $15,000 or $20,000 worth of gift cards to love on people with, people we've never seen before, people we've never talked to before. And I want to tell a real quick story before I speak today. Yesterday evening, we went to meet a team from Orlando. They were at the distribution center at Healing Place in Denham Springs, and we was like, man, we just want to go serve somebody else. We want to go bless somebody else. And you know, Kim was like, come on, man, we got to find somebody to go serve you. I guess we might do something for her. And so I said, well, let me go talk to Dan, who's with Operation Blessing. They were in their parking lot, and Dan said, well, I got somebody, but I need to kind of check it out, and I just left her house. I think she's the right one, but let me check it out. And I was like, so we got in the car, it's kind of all bummed out. I said, well, I think we ought to go now. And they was like, yeah, let's go now. It's like being with a football team. And so I said, Dan, I think we need to go now. And he was like, well, I don't know. I said, get the van, Dan, we're going, come on. So he got the van with us, and we was cruising around in Michelle's new party bus. And so we got the van, and we headed this lady's house, and he's trying to get see if she's there and everything. We get there, this sweet little lady, and I'll try not to go to bawling, but this sweet little lady fighting breast cancer, taking care of her sister who's a patient as well. Life is stressed out, no sheetrock in her house, 6 foot of water in her house. Her life is turned upside down. She walked through the door as we begin to talk to her about the love of Jesus and that God had not forsaken her. And with a few gift cards and a little bit of cash, we minister to her. But you could tell it had nothing to do with the money. As we begin to pray over her, I felt like the Lord said to me, as Michelle prayed over her, I felt like the Lord was saying, today is a turning point of her life. This is eternal. And that God's healing her of cancer right now. She don't know us. She didn't ask for our name. She don't know where we came from. Maybe in her story a few months from now, she'll say some angels showed up at her door. She did say that. And it was so funny because Michelle was praying for her. When Michelle gets to praying for people with healing, her right hand gets to shaking. And the little lady said, honey, are you okay? You're shaking awful bad. But there was a beautiful presence of God in the middle of this stick house with a roof and no sheetrock, no cabinets, no furniture, just a slab. And in the middle of that, God showed up. In the middle of that chaos, what you felt this morning, we felt yesterday, the peace of God that come rushing in. It's eternal, people. And I don't ever want us as a house to ever start thinking that we're serving for a flood or a tornado or a hurricane, whatever it might be. We're serving because we have a good daddy and we're sharing the love of Jesus. And it's eternal. It's eternal. So it's just been an awesome, awesome thing. And I'm so crazy about God today. I'm so crazy about God today. I woke up this morning about 4:30. Much to my wife's dismay, I began to stir about 4:30. I should just get up because I know I wake her up because I lay in bed and toss and turn and pray and everything else. She's probably like, go pray in there. I guess I was praying, hoping that he would release me to go back to sleep for a few more minutes. But I woke up with this song in my heart this morning that we closed with last week. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. I'm not, listen, this thing is not shaking God. Life is not shaking God. And I'm not just talking about the hurricane, the flood. I'm talking about whatever you're walking through. It's not shaking God. So you're his kid. Don't let it shake you. It's all good. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's all good. Come on, say that like a redneck. Say, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. You're good. You're good. You're good. It's all good. Praise God. So we're glad to have the Roll Tide people in the house today. We love them even if they are from their Roll Tide fans. And we've had a lot of fun with that. And so good to have Kim and Jennifer here. They are so amazing. Next week we go back to two services. And so all of our serve teams that have been enjoying this, the one service, listen, we want you to enjoy two next week. So we're so excited for you that we get to serve. And you get, right, you took the words out of my, right out of my mouth. You get a double portion next week. I want to turn real quickly, and I want to read from Luke 9 and just share with you a little thought this morning, a little thought. I told Pastor Brandon to pray for me because my brain's tired, and I didn't want this to come off like scrambled eggs. So, but I feel like the Lord has really already done a great work in this house this morning. So, I just want to share this thought with you this morning. And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power. Everybody say power.
Power.
And authority.
And authority.
Over a few demons.
All.
And a few diseases.
All.
He gave him power and authority over the demons and to cure disease. And he sent them out to do what? Proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a healer.
You're a healer.
You are a healer. You're a healer. There's healing power within you. You say, no, healing power is within God. No. God uses you to heal people. He has given you authority. He has given you power. When he said he gave and when he said he was given a power and authority, he was talking about you.
Right.
Well, and if you're not the disciple of Christ, I'm maybe okay. But I think we're supposed to be the disciples of Christ, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's given you, look at your neighbor, say, you have power.
You have power.
And if you told your wife that, she'd look at you and say, yes, I know. I know I have power. We have power and authority for the purpose to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. We're living in probably one of the greatest moments in my history that the church has ever been afforded. Now, listen, I know we're in the middle of this flood, so I want you not just to get focused on that, because I think where we're at right now, every message is like, okay, we're talking about the flood. No, I'm talking about life, okay? I'm talking about everyday life. Listen, there are bigger things. You maybe not in your world, but there are bigger things going on in the world besides what's right here. It's true. If you're not paying attention, life is chaos around the world. Around the world. And so you're not living in this storm or in this situation alone. It's bigger than that. But here's the deal. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. I'm only here for a season of my life. I'm just a passenger. I'm just coming through this life. I'm here for a moment. But listen, why I'm here, I want to be highly effective. And so I want to be everything that God has called me to be. So when we prayed for that little girl a while ago, there's two things that can happen. One can be remorse and mourning and oh, or there can be faith saying, God, you're well able, and rejoicing. You say, well, let's rejoice after the outcome. No, let's rejoice in the middle of the situation. We're speaking it now. We're speaking it now. We're saying to the mountain, be removed. We're looking at a mountain that's not removed, but we're saying to the mountain, be removed. We're looking at the situation. The situation's in our face, but we're saying to the situation, you're about to crumble and fall.
Amen.
Why do we do that? Because we are part of the greatest economy anywhere, and that's the economy of God.
Yes.
Now, if I said, raise your hand today, if you're broke, there'd be a lot of us raise our hand. If I said today, raise your hand because you're rich, there'd be a few of us raise your hand. If I said today, any of that mattered, let me tell you something, none of it matters.
Right.
What you have or have not does not matter.
Yeah.
Because if you're in God's economy, he's got it all. He's got it all figured out. He knows everything. He's in control. We're living in one of the greatest moments of a lifetime. The church is not just designed to be just an address or just an organization. Those things are okay in and of themselves. But what we are truly, outside of all of the church stuff, is we are the body of Christ. Amen. And that's why it looks so beautiful when you stood yesterday at that distribution center, and we saw, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 churches there. Right. I saw shirts of this kind and shirts of that kind and this person and that person and every shape and size and creed and color and everything there, the body of Christ. Right. And when you think about that and its perspective, now you switch from this focus of the church being about me to the church being about what it was created to be about. When we walk out of this place today, opportunity awaits us for the supernatural to take place. When we walk, now it happens here, but I'm saying when you leave here today, there's opportunity for the supernatural to take place in your life. The way that that will happen is for you to come into the economy of God's economy and his kingdom and get out of this thinking of this world. When the scripture says, love not the world, neither the things of this world, he wasn't talking about the terra firma that we live on. He was talking about the systems of this world. Listen, I'm not in the systems. I have to be in some of them. I still pay taxes, praise God. You know, I'm still paying tax. I don't like it. How many like to pay taxes? God bless you. If you like to pay them, I don't like to pay them. I pay them taxes. I don't want to pay them taxes. But I'm not trusting in the economy of this world. I'm trusting in another economy, in another kingdom. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
And so the body of Christ is called to do the work of the ministry. We talked about this just a little bit at the table last night, where Ephesians 4 says that he took the pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and whatever else I missed on the fivefold ministry there, to teach, to equip the church to do the work of the ministry.
Right.
Oftentimes we think church is those people that are on staff. They do the work of the ministry and we come and enjoy that. We come and we sit in the bleachers. Listen, God has called us as the body of Christ to be in the field.
Right.
Laborers, harvesting in the field. And it doesn't mean that you got to sign up on the church roster to do that. Every day and every moment of your life, you are encountering people that need Jesus, that need healing, that need a miracle in their life. So what you do with what you have will determine greatly to what you will have later on. Because what you sow, you reap. Well, I thought that was pretty good. So God called us to proclaim the kingdom of God. Let's look at a couple of parables, and I'm going to move through this kind of quickly because I want to tie this all together. In Mark 4, he said this, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises at night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how." Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
He don't know how in the world he takes that seed, and he takes that little bitty seed, and he plants it in the ground. I can't even hardly hold this. It's so small. It's a little mustard seed. He plants it down in the ground. And he don't know how, but there's a level of faith that happens. Now, you've heard this preached 1,000 times. This is not something like, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, but I want you to think about it today. You're the seed. You're the kingdom. You're the purpose. You're the planter. You're setting this down inside the ground. And you don't have to know how. Here's where we get hung up. I want to know how this is all going to work. Well, when you figure out God, come see me. Because I've been doing this for a long time now, and I just don't understand all there is to know about God. But what I know is what he says is yea and amen. So we plant the seed in the ground, And the seed sprouts. He don't know how. The earth produces it by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle because the harvest has come. You will never reap a harvest without the faith to plant the seed. You can say, hey, God, you're the God of the harvest. And he'll say, awesome. But till you plant the seed, there's no harvest. So, my Lord, I just want a harvest. I want a ministry in my life. God, give me a ministry. Where's your seed? Where's your seed? Well, I'm sitting at home and I'm watching television evangelists every day. Well, that's good. There's some good ones. But where's your seed? Because if your whole life is centered around just sitting and waiting, listen, you're going to be waiting and nothing's coming. Well, Pastor, that's not very nice. No, that's the law of the harvest. I'm not trying to be nice. I'm trying to be for real. So you got to take what God puts in your little hand, and you got to put it in places that you don't even understand. I don't know how this is going to work, but I have faith that it's going to work. I have faith. But long as my seed is right here in my hand, oh, I'm saving this seed. This is, well, I like this seed. I'm going to put it right back here in these other 2,000 seeds. And we got all my seeds. And look what I got. I've got, I don't know how many seeds are in here. We'll say it's 1,000 seeds. I got my seed. Look here. I got my mustard seeds. So I must have a lot of faith because I have lots of seeds. No, you have a jar of nothing. You have preserved and you have kept what God said plant. I'm going to hold on to my seed. I got this. Because if I give any of this seed away, I'm going to have one less seed in my little jar. Now, let me help you. I'm not preaching about money so y'all can relax. Just chill out. I'm talking about your time, your talent, your treasure, your life, your everything that you have, including the clothes on your back, the car you drive, the house you live in, the job you have. Anybody with me today? So everything I have belongs to God. I don't have anything. You know what? I don't even have a wife or kids. They belong to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And so when I say, Lord, this is the seed that you've given me, I'm going to plant it somewhere so it produces. Man, I hate to see that. My daughter is about to be married. This is her soon-to-be mother-in-law with us this morning. We're so excited about that. It's going to happen in just like tomorrow. and you know, and I'm already crying. They don't know that. I drove down the road yesterday. They have told me, you cannot do the wedding, Dad. You just go walk down the aisle, sit down, shut up, because you'll mess it all up. They're probably right. So look, I'm already crying. I'm already snotting. But you know what? God gave me her as seed. If I hold on to that seed, she'll never be what God has created her to be. And God has already ordained a young man for her life who's a godly young man. So the seed is going, and I'm putting the seed away. You know what I'm doing? I'm not in any way saying something bad's going to happen. I'm just simply saying this. I don't know how all that's going to turn out. But what I have is faith in God and in two young people that God has raised up for a season. If I hold on to that, I am messing up God's economy. Now, do I want to hold on? Oh, yeah. I don't care how good a dude he is. That's my girl. There ain't nobody good enough for my girl. Sorry, Mom. But there ain't nobody good enough for my girl. I want to hold on. But God gave me children as arrows. Paul, you just say, that's the only time I've heard you, amen. He's over there like, yeah, I remember when you did that to me, sucker. You was preaching a different message then. Yeah. But look how good your seed is. It's working good, Papa. It's working good. So you got to release in your life and don't hold on to what God puts in your hand, because if you're holding on to it, you're saying, I don't have faith in God. I don't have faith in God. Let's read on just a little bit. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground, and it's so small. Man, I had him pick up these this morning. Look, I can't hardly pick up just one. They're just so small. The smallest of all seed on the earth. Yet when it grows, it becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make a nest in its shade. What seems insignificant, God says, is glorious. What seems insignificant, have a mustard seed. Have a mustard seed. I can't hardly get these out. Where's Tammy at? Is she here? Oh, good. Look, mustard seed. Did y'all see those? They're even hard to see, aren't they? I asked if Tammy's here because she's the one back and forth. Mustard seed. Did they're in your hair? We have some more. Mustard seed. They're so tiny. Look at that. But what seems so insignificant is actually glorious. And what we do is we take what seems insignificant in our life and we don't realize the power that God has to take that and to do something beautiful with it. I want to talk about your faith today. Your faith that can move every obstacle, everything that's in the way. You become a part of the miracle when you do the simplest of things. Think about that seed again. How hard is it? How difficult is it just to stick that seed in the ground? Now, for all you Farmer Browns, I know you got to till the land and all that. Let's skip all that part. Let's just go to the dirt. How hard is it to just stick it in the ground? Now, if I remember correctly, Pawpaw had some seed that he got out of Nana's shed. How old was that seed? We don't even know, do we? 1977. It was in a bag or something. And so Pawpaw took that seed out there. He didn't till the ground. He just took that seed out there and went, whew, just like scattered it out. You go to his house right now, there's squash growing everywhere out there, winter squash. Well, what would happen if you would just have the faith that God gives you? He puts in your hand that you would have the faith to say, God, I trust the process of the seed that I'm just going to take it and go, here, God. No, I'm holding on to my seed because I got it right here in my jar. This is my faith. What's your faith producing? As long as it's in the jar. You got to take that seed out and you got to throw that seed out. There's something that God wants to produce in your life, but as long as it's in the jar, no dirt, no soil, no rain, no weather, no ups, no downs, it's all safe, safe place. It produces nothing. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we plant the seed that God gives us, and then God gives the increase. How hard is that? God gives you the seed. You stick it in the ground, you throw it, and then he gives increase. Isn't it amazing how difficult we make this? We make this so difficult that we can't see God do the greatness, great things in our life is because we simply are afraid to give away what God has given us. That's a good word right there. So there's a mystery in the kingdom of God. But the mystery in the kingdom of God is understood better by the one who is obedient and sows the seed. We don't have to know. We just have to trust God. The mustard seed, so tiny and so full of potential. Now, I want to talk just for a moment, then I'm going to wrap up here pretty quick. Somebody already mentioned today about the word of obedience. Obedience is the key to your relationship with the Lord. Now, before you go off the deep end with that, it's simple obedience to God. God's not set a bunch of rules and regulations around you to cramp your lifestyle, but he has put you in a place where if you can say, hey, God, I'm just going to be obedient to you. I'm going to plant the seed. God's going to bring forth the seed. There's going to be plenty for me and for others. It's just really a matter of obedience.
Right.
I said this a few years ago, and I think that God has showed himself faithful to this, is that the simplicity of faith is acting when God says. Immediate obedience. Now, God, I just need to figure that out. No, you missed it. Too gone, the ship sailed. Now, the grace of God, you get another ship sooner or later. But you missed that one because you're trying to figure it out. When God says, lay hands on that person at Taco Bell. You shouldn't be eating Taco Bell, but if you are. If God says, lay hands on that person at Taco Bell, don't. Well, you know, I don't know if they want what I got. Yes, they do. Everybody longs for God, whether they know it or not. And when God speaks, we plant seed and we see God do that. We're not responsible for anything but being obedient to God in the moment. Amen. So as we learn to act out of obedience, God shows up. He shows out. Supernatural things happen. And God gives us increase. The faith is in the obedience. The miracle is what God does. He uses us for that miracle. We can't always see the work of God. We don't always know how it's going to do. We can't see the inside. We can't see how it's going to turn out. We don't know the end result, but we trust God. So as the church, being the body of Christ, proclaiming the gospel, we go and tell all the world about a God who we've tested. You say, well, you're not supposed to test God. Yeah, you try God. Taste and see that he's good. Try God. Try. I dare you. Like was like, yeah, I double dog dare you. Come on. I just dare you to go lay hands on somebody.
Yeah.
I dare you to have faith that you believe that you'll take what you have and give it away, that God's going to give you more. Try God. And see what he does in your life. He'll do great things. So let me talk to you about this. He said, so our text today says it gives us power and authority. Power is the ability to do or the act or to use force. Everybody say use force. It's funny how we use force on everything but things that are godly. It's like we'll powerhouse our way through all kinds of stuff. But then when it comes to God, we're like, ugh. Matthew 11 says this, from the moment John stepped on the scene until now, the reign of heaven's kingdom is entered into by force and passionate people who have taken hold of the power of God. We walk into this. God doesn't anoint you to be anointed. God anoints you to be used.
Yes.
Oh, I went to church and it felt so good. So what? God, I'm sorry. God anointed you today so that you could do something amazing. So we're going to take it by force. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, when I walk in to the place that I'm going, I'm already positioned myself that I'm taking charge of that situation. I'm taking charge over the atmosphere. I'm taking charge over the room. I'm taking charge over every demonic oppression. I'm taking charge over everything that pushes back against the presence of God. Guess what? I showed up. I'm the king's kid, and stuff's about to happen. Now, if you don't believe that, you're never going to see miracles. It's when you believe that you all of a sudden, I'm taking this by force. Now, I don't mean you're going in and manhandling people, but you're manhandling the prince and power of the air. You're manhandling those things because I'm a king's kid. I'm taking dominion over this area.
Amen.
You know, people living in homes where there's so much craziness and havoc and everything going on. Listen, I want you to know that at my house, there's just cherubs everywhere. Everything's peaceful.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time. 24/7. No. There's times I walked in my house and said, Spirit, whatever you're trying to get up in this house, you better get out of here. Spirit of confusion, you leave my home. Get out of my house. Well, let me get real. Sometimes I've laid hands on myself and said, you need to get healed. You're not coming up in this place. Why? I have dominion here. You don't belong here. This is my house. And then he gives us authority. Authority is usually is a legal power to make and to enforce law or government. Now, you got to get this. This is so good today. I got all excited because you know what? I'm walking in the government of God. I'm a king's kid. So I'm taking charge as a king. I've got a seal. I got the ring. And it's got his name on it. And I'm saying, stamp, that belongs to me. I have authority. I'm cashing in on that stamp. I have the king's seal. Are y'all with me today? Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying start walking in the place of knowing that, hey, listen, I'm walking in the atmosphere. I got the king's seal. I'm believing for things. I'm not talking about naming, claiming, blab it and grab it. I'm talking about having spiritual authority to understand that we have authority over. Say to your marriage, you're going to come in order. Kids, you're going to come in order. Who said? Jesus said, and he gave me a ring and I'm using it. Come on, workplace, come in order. Heart, come in order. Finances, come in order. And then when the Lord brings those things in order, he'll tell you what to do. You better be obedient or you'll hold that seat again. Am I making any sense today? Okay. Thank you. It's a good word right there. So I want to read to you, then I'm done. I'm almost done. Well, I may not be done, but I think I'm done. I want to say this. I watched yesterday. Kim was ministering to this lady, and she would start to say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And I just love Kim. She's like, no. She's like, I don't feel. And I was like, either the woman's either going to realize she's worthy or she's going to realize she ain't supposed to say nothing. One of the two. But either way, we're going to have revival right here. Yes. Well, I just don't feel. Well, what happens so many times is somebody starts saying, well, I'm not worthy. And we say, well, yeah, me either. Well, I just don't feel like God. Well, me, I don't understand what you mean. No, I don't understand what you mean. I'm the king's kid. And I am worthy. Why are you worthy? Because he put a ring on my finger. And I got the seal of approval. He gave me power and authority. And so, therefore, I'm taking the land. If you want to get run over like a bulldozer, then fine. But I'm going to take the land. I'm going to believe. I'm going to walk in authority. Praise God. All right, let me move on. I could get hung up there. Then Jesus exclaimed, I'm reading out of the Passion. Father, thank you, for you are Lord, the supreme ruler over heaven and earth, and you have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and wise in their own eyes. Let me stop right there. Humble yourself. So what I'm preaching today is not being arrogant like I'm. It's knowing who you are in Christ. The reason I've got confidence, because I carry the ring. I carry the seal. I don't have confidence because I'm big, bad, and bold. I have confidence because my daddy's big, bad, and bold. It's hot in here. Somebody needs to get the air conditioners fixed. Yes, Father, your plans delight your heart. And you've chosen the way to extend your kingdom by giving to those who have become like trusting children. You know how God expands his kingdom? He spoke the world into existence with just a spoken word. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Yeah. But when he expands his kingdom, he says, hey, Miss Cook, you're my kid, and I trust you. So here, I'm going to put this in your hand because you're going to take this over there. I'm going to expand my kingdom because I'm going to entrust to you the things of the Spirit because you're going to use them for my glory. Why? Because you're my kid. It's like saying, "Hey, you're my kid, so I'm going to give you what is necessary for you to succeed." You know, a father would tell his kid, "Look, hey, listen. Good luck with that. Hope you make it. Here's your bicycle. Have a nice time." No, I'm going to walk with you. Come on, you pedal. You're doing good. Come on, you're going to make it. And then one day, the father just stands out there and is going, look at him. Wow.
Amen.
He trusts you. The issue is not his trust in you. The issue is your trust in him. So that when he gives you something, you don't hold on to it thinking that's all you're going to get. Lord, if you'll give me $100, I'll put it in the bank. And I'll hold on to it till it rots. No, he said, here, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom because I want you to unlock some stuff. I didn't give you the keys to the kingdom. Yesterday I was riding down the road and my daughter said something to me. I think she told me to put my seatbelt on. And I made some wise crack, like, I don't have to put my seatbelt on. I have the keys to the city. Because the mayor a few years ago gave me a key to the city. And she's like, that's not what that's for. I was just being funny. And then after I said that, I thought, when's the last time, Pastor Marvin, did you take the key to the city and unlock the door? Now, I didn't tell her that. I was telling myself that. When did you use the authority that you were given? Are y'all with me this morning? So if God gives you the keys to the city, have you unlocked the door? Or did you just put the key to the city and put on a plaque and say, look, the mayor gave me the key to the city. Ain't I something? Look, the Lord saved me. Look at me. I'm saved. Okay. That's good preaching anyway. So he gave it to you so that he could delight in you because he could watch you go, wow. Look, it was worth it. Look at him go. Look, wow. I gave them healing and they're out there healing people. I gave them authority and they're touching people's lives. I gave them the word and they're speaking the word. I gave them life and they're pouring out life. I gave it to them and they're using it for his purpose. I loved it, Darla, when you said this morning, the Lord said, and I said, yes, he did say. And now you know what you're doing? You're saying the Lord said, so I receive. Amen? Amen? Amen. Not the Lord said, so, well, I hope it happens. Are y'all with me today? If y'all don't get this, I'm going to keep preaching, so y'all better act like you're getting it. Listen, if the Lord puts it in your hand, don't hold on to it. Sling it.
Yes.
Say, here it is, Lord. Double portion. Some over here needs two slings. So I'm trusting you like children. You have entrusted me with that all you are, and all that you have. No one fully and intimately knows the Son except the Father, and no one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son. But the Son, listen to this, but the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses. So everyone come to me. Now, I'm going to close with this. I really am. Come on to the keys. They'll believe I'm telling the truth. So everyone come to me, He said, all who you are weary, carrying a heavy burden, then come to me. Listen, do you know what the Lord's saying? He's saying, hey, if you're weary, you're my kid. I trust you. If you come to me, I'm going to give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy. Listen, let me help you today, church. If you're walking around with this heavy burden on you, that's not God. I'm talking about the burden of this world. I'm talking about the yoke of this world. If you're walking around with, oh, I'm not going to make it, that is not the Lord's will. He's a good father. And he's saying, you're going to make it. Not only are you going to make it, but you're going to go far beyond what you can even think.
Yeah.
Your little old bitty brain can't comprehend how great I am. What you think is small, it's mustard seed to the tree. But what I need you to do is take what I've given you and do something with it. He said, just join your life to mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please, and you will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. I want to take the load off of you today. Look over at your neighbor and say, get the load off. I feel like a song just came on. Get the load off, Jack. Get the load off. Take the load off. Get the load off. Quit carrying around the weight of the world. Quit caring. Listen, just quit carrying around the old me's. And start giving him praise. Start wearing the ring. Start, put your robes on. Wrap that royal robe on you. Say to yourself, I'm the king's kid. You better watch out. Here comes the king's kid. I'm taking authority. I'm walking into the atmosphere. I'm saying to all those things that's come against me, they're falling. I'm the king's kid. Come on, girl. I'm the king's kid. You've been quiet back here today, but it's the king's kid. Come on. I'm the king's kid. I'm living in the place of victory. I'm living in the place of the supernatural. I'm living in the place of everything, all my heart's desires the Lord wants to bless me with. I'm living at a table that's set before me. Where's the table at? It's in the presence of my enemies. Where's the table at? It's right when the devil's saying, you're going to go down. And I said, but you forgot about this steak and this lobster. And this right here, and that right there, and just watch, because I'm the king's kid. I'm not going down. I'm driving a Rolls Royce. I got it all right here. God is for me. You know what a pauper does? Let me just speak to this right now. You know what a person that's got a poverty spirit does? I got it all right here. Don't even look at that. You can't. That's my seed. I'm holding on to this. That's my anointing. Let me preach a little bit. That's my ministry. You just lost it. That's my gift. No. When he says, you know what? I gave it to you so you could give it away. Merry Christmas. Are y'all going to take this seed home in your hair? Oh, Tammy's here. Hey, it's not my seed, Tammy. It's the Lord's seed. It'll vacuum up. Hallelujah. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with that? What you going to do with this? What you going to do with it? What you going to do with what God puts in your hand? How are you going to live your life? Are you going to live poor and in need? Or are you going to trust God for the supernatural? You want some more? What am I going to do with what God gives me? How am I going to, what am I hold on to that? I feel like somebody's going to walk out of this place today with healing in their heart. And we're going to change the world like we've never changed the world before. Not because we got some new church program. Listen, I've been doing this church thing for a long time. I've never seen one of those programs work. They kind of build up, and then they wind down, and then somebody tries to resurrect them and shoot that horse. That's over with. You be the church that God's called you to be, and we'll be an unstoppable, unchangeable, a movement of the Spirit. Anybody with me today? So there's healing in this place today. Anybody need to be healed today? We're going to have a real good altar call. How many needs healing in this place today? Prayer team can come. How many needs healing?